Blog Talk Radio.
Dolly Miller Brennan.
Produced by CommunicationCreations.com.
And now your host, the notorious MJH.
I'm not doing drugs either.
Okay, take two. We have with us tonight Reverend James Fry from St. John's Lutheran Congregation in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And he's our cultural theology expert. And I know he has a topic tonight. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I'm sure it pertains to cultural theology. Also in this description I was talking about, the description for the show tonight, I was talking about WikiLeaks, and I wanted to start the show early and do some of that without touching, without going in on the Reverend's time here. But I'm going to postpone that because there's a documentary online. You guys can find it. I've put the playlist on my YouTube channel, which is MJH Mobile Media, youtube.com/user, you guys know, /MJH Mobile Media. That's my channel. And the name of the documentary is Wiki Rebels. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to take, it's an hour long, I just want to take a few clips and play them over the radio and, talk about it. That guy, Julian Assange, or however you pronounce his name, Assange, actually, when I first heard about WikiLeaks, I didn't even pay attention to it. I just thought it was another jackass trying to make a name for himself. But apparently there's a lot more to it than that. So if you guys get the chance, go to my YouTube channel or just Google it on Google. Google it on Google. I'm telling you, I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. search for it on YouTube. And like I said, it's called Wiki Rebels, and you'll find it. It's a four-part thing. And we'll talk about that either one day this week or one day next week. I'm not sure when. But I need to download that and edit it to be able to get it on the air. I understand that Andrew Castanuela is supposed to call in tonight, also Larry Ballard. I don't know. That's the other reason I'm postponing that WikiLeaks thing. There's a friend of mine from Belgium I want to call. I want to call in. He's a activist. Not really a political activist, just an activist. And actually, I just saw one of his tweets. There's a website called Save the Internet. And for those of you interested in protecting the Internet from net neutrality, if you don't know what that is, basically they want to start charging you money for the Internet. If you're against it, you can go to this website. It's savetheinternet.com. Spelled just like that, no spaces or dashes or anything like that. And you put your name on the list. 2 million people in 2 days, and they're sending this to the FCC to, stop net neutrality. I don't think it'll happen, but they're trying. So anyway, yeah, it's kind of like a petition. Just go ahead and it's savetheinternet.com, and you can sign your name to that. I'm going to do it in a minute. I just found the site, and I had to start the show, so I'm going to do that myself in a minute. Okay, we got Dolly Miller-Brennan, our co-host, on the line. How are you doing tonight, Dolly?
I'm doing good. How you doing? You doing good, too?
Me? Yeah, I'm doing fine. Now that I can talk right, I don't know what's wrong.
Well, sometimes that happens. And then we have Reverend Wright with us, who has a really exciting topic, I think, tonight to discuss in the area of cultural theology.
Okay, I was half right. I didn't know what the topic was. Yeah, I just washed my mouth. I can't do a thing with it. Is Reverend Riff there?
I'm here.
Yeah, Reverend Riff
is
here.
Oh, okay, there he is. Okay.
And Reverend
Hello,
Reif,
Reverend. How are you doing tonight?
Tonight on what your topic is.
Say again? I didn't know what my topic was.
A little bit to us.
What are we talking about tonight?
Okay,
I've been gone for a week, so I don't know what we're talking about.
The show is.
No, you've got everything prepared. So tell us a little bit about what's happening.
No, I just am concerned with what Air Force General Jim Cash wrote recently in an article regarding that missile launch off of California. And that still concerns me, and it tells me that the Chinese government is trying to say something to our government, and that they're warning us that we are not as safe as we think we are. In the late 80s, General Cash was an assistant director of NORAD in Colorado Springs, and for over 25 years he flew fighters. And so he certainly would be able to tell the difference between a contrail and a missile contrail, you know, between a jet contrail and a missile contrail. And he says that this was not a Chinese warning. This was, not a Korean warning. He said it was a Chinese warning. He said the Chinese managed to get a submarine right off our coast. Now, if you remember, years ago, we had a traitor in the Navy named Walker who gave away top secrets about our submarines. And I'm wondering if the Chinese got a lot of that from the Russians so that they now are able to develop submarines that are as secret and quiet as our own are. It used to be that our submarines were so secret and the Russian submarines and the submarines from all other countries were so loud that we could always spot them and sneak up on them and take care of them if we had to. But I'm not so sure we can do that anymore. And
well,
with our Navy being cut back all the time and our military forces really being cut back and we're not being allowed, you know, we have rather large ground forces at this time, but even there we're not allowing them to win these wars. And I'm just wondering if what's going on is that the Chinese, with the money that they're making on us, are building up a military force that we're going to have just one heck of a time dealing with in the future if we don't get going now and rebuild our military.
That could very well be. That's a military topic. If you want to discuss military and you want to discuss politics, that's a military topic. You know,
yes.
I was looking at China's crack. They have a renewed crackdown on religion.
And
we're
China?
Seeing again in China, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's used its economic clout to intimidate many countries to actually boycott the Nobel Prize ceremony that honors their poet because he is religious. Now, 30 years ago, up until 30 years ago, religion was totally banned in China. And now there is another crackdown on religion. So when we put that together with what's happening in the United States, then we're seeing that we can't mention Christmas, we can't mention Hanukkah, we can't mention anything but Muslim holidays, actually. And we can mention Kwanzaa, the African holidays, and that's all we're allowed to mention in this country.
Well,
so
now, first of all,
an affiliation between China and the U.S.
We are seeing an affiliation between China and the U.S. Is that what you said? Is that what you said, Dolly?
We're seeing an affiliation between China and the U.S. This crackdown on religion is happening over there, and it seems like the crackdown on religion is happening here. If
yes,
we veer into
here.
A military topic, then, you know, that's a whole other area.
Well, no, I just see. You see, something is going on in our country, and it's not merely a crackdown on – it is a crackdown on religion in our country, and it's subtle. And this goes back as far as 1947, when the Supreme Court said that we had to have a separation of church and state. Prior to that time, that was never used in any court case. And this is a false
check. There was never separation of church and state in this country. In fact, the original colonies, each colony had their own religion.
Well, precisely. And what the First Amendment said was that Congress, not states, not the federal government, but Congress itself should, you know, not set up any kind of a state religion. So, for example, in Maryland, you may have had more Catholics, and in Virginia, you may have had more Episcopalians, but that all Christian religions were encouraged. And that changed in 1947 when we began to say that you could not have religion talked about in schools. When I was a young boy, it was called released time. So if you were a Catholic, you could go to a certain room, or if you were a Protestant, you could go to another room, or if you were Jewish, you could go to another room, and there would be a clergy there who would talk to the children about their particular religion. And sometimes, in some towns, they actually walked out of school and would walk to a nearby church. But the point is, this was agreed upon by the schools. And if a child had his parents okay, then they could do that. And in 1947, when the Supreme Court said that that was unconstitutional, they single-handedly said that what had always been assumed in our country was no longer to be done, was no longer true. And that has caused terrible damage to our country because it has given our people nothing to believe in. You know, Samuel Adams used to say that virtue, religion, and morality are necessary for the continuance of a government, and he's absolutely right.
Absolutely. So, and we see that now that we are really aligning ourselves with China.
Right, and so
Obama,
and so what's,
Obama, the great king, I think that's what he thinks he is, he really is aligning himself with China to start this super capitalistic state, capitalistic communist state, because I think it was Mao that said socialism does not come through the people, it comes from the butt of a gun, you know, or something to that effect. Now, China, when I studied Buddhism in college, it refined, and I used to have these dinner parties, sometimes I still do, where you bring somebody in to speak, and Buddhism refines God out of religion. It
of
absolutely
course.
Refines it, takes him out, and you become part of it. So we're seeing that they just recently had a crackdown on Protestant churches in China. So if they have Buddhism that refines God out of religion, and we refine God out of religion here, we have a secular state, they refine God out of religion, here's an open door for Islam.
There you go. And it's because we don't, the common people in our country don't have a strong understanding anymore of what they believe that will make us very weak and will make us, you know, a nature abhors a vacuum, we are told, and that is an assumption that we've all operated on. And so then that will give Islam a chance to get in here because if our people aren't going to believe Christianity, then there's something will take its place and something that really is strong will have a great appeal. I can just see all the women in our country walking around with burqas. Then they'll wish they had stayed with Christianity.
I think even Islam may have a rude awakening here inside of this particular administration, because this particular administration appears to crack down on all religions, allow one in the door, let them get a foothold, and then they're going after everybody. When all the Jews are gone, they're going to, when they get rid of us, they'll come after somebody else. So I see this as an open door to eliminate one of the very strong religions in the world today.
Well, absolutely.
And you brought up China, and I think that's a good one, because China has refined, Buddhism has refined God out of religion. So therefore, having a state theology, I think, is more acceptable in China. And, of course, the Soviet Union or Russia has no religion. They have churches, but they don't really have religion. And
well, again,
China, they've been having some conversions, but they're from one person to another, and they're secret and quiet, and it's about 5% of the population. As Nancy Pelosi said, I remember one night Mike and I searched and searched the Internet, and we found that we spent all night searching the Internet, and she did say it, you don't need God, her exact words, you don't need God, you got us Democrats. Okay, so they are absolutely replacing it. Now Mr. Obama wants to, and I refuse to call him president because I didn't vote for him, Mr. Obama wants to enact an amnesty act, the DREAM Act, that will allow any Mexican that says they are escaping drug cartel violence, allow them to immigrate to the United States and become a voting citizen. Because this is the way he's going to get his votes. He's going to have a totally dependent population that is going to depend upon him for everything. And so we're seeing religion, you know, replaced by the state. Is that what
of
you're
course.
Seeing?
Of course, that is exactly what I'm saying. And I think, by the way, that any of our listeners should try to subscribe to The Voice of the Martyrs. It's a magazine. I think you can get it online at voiceofthemartyrs.com. It's a free magazine, but it's very, very well written, and it shows how Christians are being persecuted around the world, and of course especially in the Mideast and in the Far East, and the Chinese government is certainly involved with a lot of that. I see the problem that we're having in our country again boiling down ultimately to a lack of not knowing what we believe anymore, and it's because
Voice of the Martyrs, I have it up, voiceofthemartyrs.com, and then once you get into that online, then you click on Voice of the Martyrs USA. And then this comes up, and this is for Christians that feel they're being persecuted and how to handle that.
Yes. Does it talk about Christian persecution? I've not seen it online. Does it talk about Christian persecution?
Yes.
In this country? In the USA?
see here. Let me back up here.
Well, you know, while you're doing that, it just seems to me
a nonprofit that interdenominational organization with a vision for aiding Christians around the world who are being persecuted for their faith in Christ.
All right, but it's not talking about persecution in the USA. And in general, that would be true because we are not being put in prison yet because of our Christianity.
But there's a very subtle persecution here.
Oh, it's very subtle. Yes,
both,
indeed.
Not just Christians, but Christians and Jews both. There's a very subtle persecution here. You're not allowed to mention religion in school. They totally wipe it from the children's mind. Children go up with no base. And then this has been going on for several years. Now, these children are having children. So there's a very subtle persecution here, and this, I think, is the most difficult one to work with. I mean, if they put you in prison, the word is out there. But if they take your faith away from you and you never know you have one or have the potential to have one or you never know you could have that, then I think this is the most serious persecution, and maybe people should be looking at that. This is persecution. This is a very serious persecution in taking that right away from them.
Well, again, you see, it goes back to our founding fathers who had Christian values, and our Constitution was founded on a declaration of faith. We believe that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Only Christians and Jews believe in a personal God. Well, Islam too, but they are way in the back here. Time-wise, so, you know, the idea of a personal God comes out of Judaism and Christianity. And we believe in our country, our Constitution says it, that we were endowed by our Creator, who was a personal being with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that is a whole brand new thing that had never been taught anywhere in the world before.
Did you know
prior,
what the fathers really said? They wanted life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. And they changed it to happiness. So the pursuit of property, and they're trying to turn that around and saying, no, they didn't mean that. They meant for everybody to be equal. They never meant for everybody to be equal because everyone is not equal. It isn't possible.
The whole point of the founding fathers saying that was that they were saying that we are all equal in the eyes of God. That whether a person is a pauper or whether a person is wealthy, it doesn't make any difference because in God's eyes, every human being is of equal importance.
Well, and you told me once, and I don't know a lot about Christ, but about Christ, when someone poured the incense over his head or whatever it was, and he said, they give that to the poor, he said, the poor will always be with you. So what he was saying, I would think he was saying, was, you're always going to have this. You cannot equalize everybody and put them all on one level.
Yes, Judas got angry because Mary Magdalene was pouring oil over his head. And then he said, you know, that money should have been given to the poor. And he said, no, you always have the poor with you, but I'm only here for a short time. And by the way, that shows something else that's extremely important that goes right back to Moses and to the ancient Israel. And that is that the very first commandment God gave the people of Israel to pull them away from the evil surroundings that they were living in, people who, you know, were burning their children alive for Baal and all of these crazy things that were going on, this spirit worship that was going on. God called the children of Israel to follow him through Moses. And the very first commandment that he gave Moses was, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. I, the Lord your God, am one God. See, so we weren't believing in all different kinds of gods. Now, when Jesus said, the poor you always have with me, but you only have me for a very short time, he was going directly back to that first commandment of Moses, saying, look, whether you understand it or not, I am God incarnate now. And Mary Magdalene is doing the very best kind of worship she can give me by pouring this oil on my head. This is a great honor that she's doing. And then he went on and said, and she's actually, you know, anointing me for my burial, which is going to be coming up here soon. But the point is, he's saying, honor God above everything. And don't worry about the poor, because the poor will be taken care of if you honor God. See, and the whole point of our founding fathers was that we based our country on this Judaic Christian understanding of God, so that when we honor God, we then have enough honor in ourselves to honor our country. And we will want to do the right thing because we know who the true God is. You know, there is a very good reason why Jews and Christians didn't go around blowing themselves up, because they hated people. They had too much respect for themselves. They loved.
What we're saying is that when we take away that part of our faith and we take away that personal identification with God or a supreme being, when we take away that personal identification with God and we delve into a state concept, that we lose all respect for each other, because a state's going to change its mind continuously.
Well, not just that, but a state. But if you develop an atheistic state, and that's generally either you're going to develop an atheistic state or you're going to develop a state that makes their nation their religion, or in the case of the Japanese in World War II, the emperor became their god. If you have something other than God himself as your ultimate authority, what will happen is you will lower your understanding of yourself. And in doing that, then, since you've lowered your understanding of yourself and of other human beings, you will not have the respect for them you ought to, and then killing and murders and everything else will increase. But if you hold God in this very high estate, in this very high understanding, it will improve your morals. It will improve your outlook about who you are, and it will ultimately improve the whole social climate of the state. And that, of course, is what is happening to us today. We're losing that.
Yeah, we are losing that, because there is persecution here of all religion, I think, in this country, and the persecution is very subtle, but it's very powerful,
yes.
And that is taken away from you. And therefore, you look to the state, you look to Congress, you look to the Senate, you look to governmental bodies to give you what you need, to extend unemployment, to extend benefits, to give you what you need. So there is no sense of personal achievement involved. There's no sense of personal achievement involved. So if the state gives you what you need, then the state becomes God. And then as the culture changes from generation to generation, is that what you're saying? As when the culture changes from generation to generation, then each generation has their own theology.
Well, each generation has its own theology if they forget God. But we have been managing to pass on the Christian tradition, the Christian moral values in Europe and in the United States up until this generation. It's this generation where we've fallen down.
In a cultural type of theology, what we're saying then is that we do eliminate God from the equation, and then we do see a degrading of society.
That
because
is exactly
there
right.
There is nothing outside of oneself.
Yes, well, Dolly, if you are a very rebellious person and I tell you, you shall not kill, you're going to say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. We shouldn't kill because, after all, if we kill, then somebody's going to kill me. I don't want to get killed. But if I say to you, no, Dolly, you don't understand. You don't kill because this will infuriate God. God has given you a command that you cannot kill. Then you may not like it, and you may, in fact, go out and kill. But most people are going to say, wait a minute, there's an absolute rule that we cannot break, and God has given us that rule. But you have to be trained in understanding that, and if you have a whole generation of people that say, I can just do anything I want to do, and there probably is no God anyway, and if you teach people...
What we're saying is, now, the other night I was watching Golden Girls on TV, and I noticed something that fits into the conversation. Anyway, one of the women, her daughter was there with her granddaughter, and she had And it was Blanche, and Blanche is very sexy, and she had had a conversion for a few minutes. She had a conversion, and then her daughter was saying, "Now, you know I don't want my daughter's head filled with a god that may or may not exist." And I thought, well, here we have that in primetime TV watching, so therefore it becomes part of our psyche.
There you go. That's the truth. And that would not have happened.
No, it wouldn't have happened
years ago.
And it seems that Mr. Obama, I see him coming out with a theology of relevance. Okay, well, you know, it may not be right for you, but it's right for this person here. And don't judge this person, because what's right for you may not be right for them. So go ahead and let them do what they want, because that's what they need to do. So you almost have a substrata inside cultural theology, and you have a theology of relevance. If it's relevant, then you have the reason for it.
That's right. And ultimately, what makes religion relevant is if you have an ideal that is so high that you can never achieve it, so you can only struggle toward it. Because, you see, if you can achieve your goal, then you have nothing else to look for. If you have a moral code that is so high that it is absolutely right, then you know that there are certain things you can and can't do. But if you make up your own moral code, then that can be changed. You see, God is so great that he's greater than anything that can be conceived. And when someone thinks that they have got God all defined, then that's not God. Then that's some construct of the human mind. And Jesus said, if you have seen the Father, or if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That was to give people an understanding of the fact that God is a God of love and a God who cares. But he never gave us all the knowledge about God, and we will never in this life have that knowledge. So what we believe about God has been handed down for thousands of years by the Jewish and also the Christian tradition. And it has an ethic and a value system about life that is unequaled. Nobody else can come up with anything even remotely close to it. And it has made Europe great, and it made the U.S. great, until we got governments or professors or whoever can grab the imagination of the people to get them to start doubting it. And when they start doubting it, things begin to fall apart.
So what they want to do is create a dependence. And if you're dependent upon God, you're going to stand up to your state. And one of the biggest failures of communism, I know from a social perspective, was its failure to replace religion. They eliminated
it,
but they didn't replace it with anything. So therefore, you find this big gap. And I see the same. I think we're seeing the same thing happening here, but a little bit smarter here. Well, we're going to replace it with a state theology. The state is going to be the religion. So I think they've learned from past mistakes and saying we failed to replace the religion, so we had a big gap in society and it didn't work. But if we put something in there to take the place of religion, then this can work.
Do
you agree that that seems to be happening today?
Yes, that is what's happening. It doesn't seem to be happening. It is what's happening. And we have a president right now who really doesn't believe anything. But he protests and says, no, I'm a Christian. But in point of fact, the way he behaves and the way he talks, you know he's a Muslim. So you see, what that does is send out all kinds of confused signals. If you're watching somebody sending out signals and he's sending out different signals all the time, you can't make out what the signals are, you're going to be very confused. If a baseball player is watching his catcher and he's giving him signals, but he starts sending mixed signals, pretty soon the baseball or the pitcher isn't going to know what pitch to throw. And that's what's happening in our country. And it has to do with the fact that our president is extremely weak. And he's weak in many ways. And this is coming to be more and more noticeable. Even the liberals are seeing that he's really not very, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
No, he isn't. And what was it? My friend's brother sent me this. Says, you know, if they want to keep top secret, Mike laughed, I put it on Twitter, if they want to keep top secret, they should place them in the place where they keep Obama's college transcripts and his birth certificate. That would keep them safe.
Yeah, I like that. That's absolutely.
And by the way, Michael was talking about the WikiLeaks. And I am not competent to talk about those things, but I do want to say that something doesn't smell right when the government can lose all that secret stuff. It tells me something isn't going on. Something's wrong there.
Well, when Assange was just at a state dinner, I mean, hello, Nelly. You know, Assange was at a state dinner, excuse me, and then all of a sudden they said that he came out with a WikiLeaks. I was researching it today, and I found him at the state dinner with everyone. So,
well, again, it makes me wonder.
Dangerous area.
Just makes me wonder if something wasn't done on purpose here.
Well, I'm sure it is, because the Air Force now has already blocked websites. They blocked the New York Times. They blocked... They blocked a couple of major websites because they printed WikiLeaks. So
they can't block the WikiLeaks website because it's on a hidden server,
But they blocked the New York Times.
Well, the New York Times only has one server, so they blocked the DNS. So they blocked the IP.
Yeah.
If you look at that link I sent you yesterday in that email that goes to the secret war documents, you'll notice that that doesn't have a .com address. It's an IP address. And when you pull that up, you'll notice where it says mirror. And those sites are mirrored. So by the time they find one and shut it down, they put another one up.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Well,
very
serious. And it's very dangerous. I was working on it today, and it's an extremely dangerous area. Assange, I'm going to say a little bit, Assange is now out on bail on sex charges. I don't think he ever raped anyone. I think that this was a put-up. But this is a very dangerous area to get into. But now,
he went to Sweden. They took him in Sweden because he's like a just basically had no place else to go where he could be safe.
So he
goes to Sweden, and he believes that Sweden set him up with those two women. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that documentary or not, but that guy, you know, I don't think he raped anybody either, you know, just from what I
can judge.
You know who he reminds me of, yeah, or at least who he resembles, is, you know who Bill Maher is on HBO?
Bill Maher.
I was watching that documentary.
He looks just like him.
Bill Maher
he does resemble. Because I was watching that documentary, I was like, that guy reminds me of somebody. And it dawned on me today, he reminds me of Bill Maher.
And getting back a little bit on topic on cultural theology, Lenin had his own theology. Lenin has his own religion, and Lenin's religion was Marxism. This was his replacement for religion.
Yes.
To Lenin, Marxism was his creed, was his religious dogma. Lenin said that Marxism, it supplied the bond of faith. It supplied a shared ideal that he could use and use it to make communism appeal, you know, to appeal to masses more effectively than church-based ideology. So Lenin did have a theology, but it was Marxism.
Everybody.
Marxism doesn't work. I mean, you know, anybody that's ever taken a one-on-one class on patterns of totalitarianism understands that Marxism doesn't work. It died out. It just doesn't work.
Everybody has a theology. I don't care who they are. Everybody has a theology. Now, that theology may be I don't believe in God.
That's right.
But
that's just the point we're looking for. I think this was the one point we were looking for. Everybody has a theology.
Absolutely.
So stop, look at yourself and say, what is my theology? Am I just depending on the state to take care of me? Am I believing in the state only? Am I believing in something else? What is the theology? What can I give to my children? So I think that's the point we were trying to look for tonight. You just made it. You just opened it up. Everybody has a theology. Look at yourself and see what that theology is. Theology is not religion. Theology is theology.
And what makes a person great is when he has a theology that is so monumental that it's beyond anything he can achieve in his own life. He will then keep striving to achieve. And when a nation has a theology that is so great that it knows that it has a reason for existence and that humans have infinite value and all of the things we've always believed in our country, then we can achieve greatness. But when our theology is diminished and we have a president who is sending us mixed signals so nobody knows what they believe, and we are taught in schools that we can't talk about God, so then that can't be a part of your theology. When we do that, then we undermine and destroy our country. And that's exactly what's going on.
I think that's a wonderful point you brought up tonight. It's a substrata. I think that's inside your cultural theology model. I think that's a wonderful point that everybody needs to look at. Everybody has a theology. It doesn't mean
everybody
you have a religion. It has a theology. Look at yourself and see what it is, you know, to see what it is. And I think that's a really important point that you made, because we are totally without any moral base. I have a good friend raised on the reservation out in North Dakota, a very dear friend. And, of course, I'm Jewish and Indian, and she's Indian. And she was raised in a boarding school in a convent. She said, you know, those nuns were mean to me. She said, when I look back, she said, they gave me a sense of moral value. She said, who knows what might have happened? I might have been the biggest streetwalker in Texas if I hadn't been raised in a convent. Yes, it was tough. But, you know, they gave her a sense of morals.
Well, again, we hear people talk about how the nuns were mean to me, or my father and mother were mean to me. Well, that's the way kids talk. But you see, meanness really oftentimes is strictness. And we are strict with our children because we love them. We don't want our children doing damaging things to themselves, so we're strict with them. But the children
I think that's being mean. I think some of them were mean. My late husband, God bless him, said, and he was Catholic and I'm Jewish, we got along, the whole world should be able to. And he said that he had one that used to get him down on the floor with her fist and pound him in the stomach. That's mean.
Sure. Again, the Christians have a saying that says, the Lord chasteneth those whom he loveth. The Lord chastens those whom he loves is the point when you take it out of the King James. And that simply means that God is hard on those people that he loves. Just like a parent is hard on their children. And when our country doesn't have anything it believes nationally anymore, that is going to put us into grave, grave difficulties. Now, I was talking with some child in one of my catechism classes the other day, who said that in his school they don't even recite the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. Now, we always used to say the Pledge of Allegiance the first thing in the morning. And now some schools don't want to do that because we have that clause, under God, in the Pledge of Allegiance. But
well,
if you
I
don't...
remember my high school biology teacher, he made you do that when you walked into class. When
That's
you went
right.
into his class and everybody's class, he said the Pledge of Allegiance. And
That's
this
right.
is what he did. And he was, well, he's still a good friend today, and this is what he did. And
Change
so here's
to America. Our moment is now. Yes, we... Can.
Yes, we can.
To commemorate the inauguration of our 44th president with a well-known American icon, introducing...
Chia.
Chia Obama.
Yes, I just love all that Sieg Heiling I hear in the background there.
Since you brought it up, what is that? You told me to get something when you heard that the first time. What was the name of that?
The Nuremberg rallies. In 1939, Nuremberg rally is quite famous.
Nuremberg.
Hitler would the Nuremberg city of Nuremberg in Germany. Nuremberg. I can't remember how to spell it now.
Nuremberg.
Yeah. And that was a great city in Germany, and they conducted fabulous rallies there. And if you can get one, or now, if you can find it, Leni Riefenstahl, a great German cinematographer, made a film of Hitler, a propaganda film during before the war, called The Triumph of the Will. The Triumph of the Will. And, of course, it shows Hitler as a great savior of Germany and everything. And in that film, there's just all kinds of footage from the Nuremberg rallies. And Leni Riefenstahl was a really great cinematographer. And that is a classic in its field on propaganda. And I guarantee you, if you start watching that, you'll be walking around Sieg Heil when it's over, because it really it's very, very inspiring, you know. And it's shown always as a perfect example of how we can use propaganda to get people to believe what we want them to believe. And in those days, you know, well, and we're still doing it. It's motion pictures. That's our propaganda today. And our motion pictures.
And I saw that on the Golden Girls, and I said, oh, my God, you know.
Oh,
Look, right there it is.
I went to radio school to be a radio broadcaster back 40 years ago. And if you, I went to the official ABC radio school. And if you used a word like hell or damn, they'd in the training sessions in the school, they would cut you off the air, and then really read you out. You can't talk like that on the air. Now you hear Rush Limbaugh, this scion of conservatism, using those words all the time. And, of course, on regular television, the big F word and lots of others are used all the time. I mean, it shows, again, how our culture has been coarsened. We've become a coarse culture, a vulgar culture, and in truth, a culture that doesn't believe much of anything. And when
that's
you don't believe when you don't believe anything, you will be destroyed. Because, you know, well, how do they say it? If you don't believe anything, you'll believe everything. You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's true for a country that loses its way too. If it doesn't have anything that it really believes in, then it's going to be taken in. Nuremberg, yeah.
Okay.
N-U-R-E-M-B-U.
I can remember once, speaking of cultural theology, and this brought it in, they interviewed a couple of people.
Found it.
They interviewed one Jewish woman that was a child during Kristallnacht, you know, when they went around and terrorized the Jews. And they interviewed another woman that was part of some kind of a Hitlerin rally, and she was riding on a white pony and had this ball gown, and they said, well, they said you could hear all this stuff going on and you knew what was going on. I mean, what did you think? And I thought I actually felt nauseous. I thought I was going to vomit. She said, what do you mean what I think? I was too busy worrying about how I was going to hold my gown up, that it was going to fall down because it was strapless. She said, that was what I was totally focused on. I thought, oh, my God, that was totally a society without any faith outside of themselves.
That's right. Now, Michael, have you got track of the Nuremberg rally there?
I found something on YouTube, but I can't really find any.
All right. Look up the name Leni Riefenstahl. L-E-N-I is how she spells her first name. L-E-N-I.
I know how to spell Leni.
And, well, you know, there are various ways. It's a female way of spelling it. And her last name is Riefenstahl. R-I-E-F-E-N-S-T-A-H-L.
Would that be
Leni
Riefenstahl?
Leni Riefenstahl.
Would
say it again.
Riefenstahl be
F-E-N. She spells it exactly the opposite as I do mine.
Right.
Leni Riefenstahl. Not Riefenstahl, Riefenstahl. Because she has
James Reif, in my research, that Reif in 17th and 18th, in 18th century Germany was a Jewish name.
Don't let him lie. Don't let her lie to you like that. We're a bunch of atheists.
Is she a German film director?
Yes, she was a German film director, a great cinematographer. And
okay.
during the Third Reich. And she, of course, was a young woman during the Third Reich, but she has done just wonderful stuff for Hitler. And if you can get any of her cinematography, you'll be amazed, or any of her pictures.
And what you will see there
is an Obama with a, well, I have to be careful. but you'll see a man with a mustache, and everybody will be Sieg Heiling. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. It's just amazing when I heard that. I thought, oh, my God, it's the Nuremberg rallies all over again.
Yes.
So what can we do, in back on topic a little bit, inside of the cultural theology, parents can start in school, and they can demand that their child be allowed to express their religious holiday.
Yes, parents can, but most parents don't care anymore because, you see, we've been trained in this way now, and we have been taught to believe the lie of the separation between church and state. No, it's going to have to be churches, and it's going to have to be lawyers, and it's going to have to be politicians who themselves say, wait a minute. The federal, the Supreme Court overreached itself in 1947.
Okay, this is exactly,
we've got to reverse that decision, because unless
exactly
we do unless we reverse it,
2012.
Well, that's exactly right. 2012
exactly
is going to
focusing on 2012 and putting someone like Andrew Castanuela in office that does have a moral values and will work for something like this. So if we get to an election in 2012, we don't have martial law, but I don't want to get off topic.
In the very early days of our country, before we became, I think it would have been before we actually broke with England, in order to serve in the governments, in the legislatures of some of these colonies, you had to believe in Christ, or you had to believe in some of them in the Holy Trinity. Well, now, later on, those things went away, but you can see how deeply steeped in all of this our founders were. They believed that God had led our country to become what it was because, having read the Old Testament, these men understood that God himself wanted to rule the people of Israel, and they would not allow, the people of Israel wouldn't allow it. They kept wanting kings. And so all kinds of people had, all kinds of nations had kings. And so what we did in the U.S. is say, we're not going to have a king. No, we are going to let it be a government of the people. But it was presumed that the people that would go to Washington and serve there, or when we became a nation, were going to be moral, religiously minded people who had a decent value system. And so we put our trust in them. But we don't have those kinds of politicians anymore.
So kind of a recap on what we're doing here with cultural theology. You're saying everybody has their own individual theology, and that could stand to fragment society. And then we're saying that the communism had the problem because they didn't replace religion. Well, what they're doing now, they are replacing it with not consumerism, but they're replacing it with dependence upon the state. So there is a subversion here, and this is a persecution. I think they're replacing religion with dependence on the state. So what you're saying is, you know, we need to elect these officials in 2012 that are going to get in there. It's going to be difficult to try and reverse some of the situation so that we can get some appreciation of a belief in God back into our school systems. Not that all schools have to teach religion, but to get that moral base.
They have to be open to it. That's right. Yes. When I was in high school, we would sing Bach chorales at Christmas. And I went to an inner-city public school, and we would sing works of Palestrina, the great Catholic choral director. But today, you don't hear any of those things. Or if you do, it's very rare. Because, you see, the great Western tradition of music has been downtrodden, downplayed, because we don't want anything that's religion. And most of these great composers wrote on religious themes, because quite honestly, there is no theme that is worthy of the genius of a great composer but religion. Because, you see, there's nothing that can elevate your soul like religion can. I mean, what do we hear on the... Say again?
Handel with his water music.
Yes, yes, look at Handel. That's exactly right. Yes. So we're going to have to get our nation back into a religious understanding of who we are, because if we don't, our country will die, and it will die.
When it comes to music and religion, I see country music as being more on the level with that than any other type
country,
of music.
Country music, speak, country music speaks to the heart of people.
But the blues have changed. The blues are not the pure blues anymore. And country music seems to be the one music that seems to relate to that more than any other, and you do find those themes in that music, inside of that music venue.
The only thing with country music is that it generally doesn't, it talks about families, it talks about love, it talks about...
Well, it talks about grandma and your dog and trains and somebody getting
run over
by a pickup truck.
And those
grandma
things are all of
Uber those, by a reindeer on the way to our house Christmas Eve. You may say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandma, we believe.
Hey, and if y'all have never gone wind surfing, you got to do it. You know, they do that in the South. That's big. Texas, you know, when the ditches, you know, and they get full of water, and they take the skis and they do ditch skiing, and then you have a truck pull you, and then you jump off before you.
Well, again, country western music is a legitimate, wonderful art form. I play it myself, you know. But it has to be said that the reason it is successful is because the people that it appeals to are basically people of faith.
Yes.
The people that listen to country music, the people that write it, are people who have a basic belief in God, and that means then that they have a basic belief in right and wrong, and so they will talk about those things in their songs.
Okay.
But that is not the uplifting kind of stuff you hear on amongst children today, the teenage music.
No, it isn't. So again, in recapping, you're saying that everybody has their own theology. I think that's a substrata inside of that model. I think it's an excellent one, that everybody has their own theology. And as the children that are having children today are not aware of this and where they have no faith, then we do need to try and elect people into office that are going to allow us to bring those back into schools, because give me a child till he's 7 and he's mine forever. I mean, that's exactly the old word. Give me a child till he's 7 and he's mine forever.
Of course.
So you need to be teaching these children at a very young age that
and
they need to have some kind of faith, because that faith establishes a moral code. And what you just said about what's right and wrong, that hits on topic two, because that's an absolute. And we're finding the Obama world is a world without absolutes. It's a world of relevance and abbreviation. If one
and
more time I hear that commercial for RA, what the hell is RA? It's rheumatoid arthritis. Don't you know the words? Just say it. We're a society of abbreviation and relevance. We no longer have any absolutes.
And because
from a guy who goes by MJH.
Yes. And because we have no absolutes.
Because we have
no absolutes, we can even kill our children when they are no longer when they become a problem for us. And it started out with abortion. And now we're hearing more and more of parents who are killing their children. We heard of a man in Michigan who killed his 3 little boys the other day.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Now,
and
so you see, the point is, Dolly, the point is that Rush Limbaugh has said it so very well, that we are having an upswing in murders in our country. Why? Because life is no longer sacred. He said you cannot take a nation that kills its own babies and think that you're not going to produce murderers.
Exactly right. I'm going to make one more point before we go that I think does fit into this assimilation theory, and that's Vladimir Putin coming to Florida and singing Blueberry Hill. Isn't it wonderful that we saw him in such a humanistic manner and we liked him, so therefore we can join forces with Russia because this is a nice guy?
Well, of course. And,
of course, that was.
And you only, oh, how nice Adolf Hitler was when he was home alone, and you could see him, eating his bear rug, or sitting around in a cashmere sweater. Ah, yes, old Uncle Adolf was such a nice man.
I'm going to have to leave you, Mike. I'm getting hold of that other lady. Remember, and Reverend Rice would like you to come back for that too. There's a lady that has published her father's diaries. He was a Nazi soldier that was taken prisoner of war in France. He was a French prisoner of war, and his diaries are His diaries are debunking Hitler. His diaries are talking about the horrors of the Nazi regime as seen from a Nazi soldier. And be glad that she had some illnesses and be glad to get her on. I think she might be someone we might all be interested in hearing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to leave y'all.
Yeah, Michael, God bless you. I'll see you next week.
Thank you, sir. God bless you as well. You too,
you
Dolly.
Bet.
Thank you both
you
for
too,
your
drugs,
help.
You
appreciate
okay.
you being here. Excellent job, guys. Okay, everybody, that was the Reverend Rife and our co-host, Dolly Miller-Brennan. Next week, I wanted to talk more about that WikiLeaks tonight, but like
we need to do a whole thing on that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was going to do a half hour before the show, and then
I've spoken to some people that are willing to do that with us. So you know, maybe we can get a bunch of people together and we can just do one show on WikiLeaks.
Yeah, because that'd be good because I want that guy from Belgium to call in, and the. Thing about the WikiLeaks is how we were talking about a couple times last week we mentioned in the show about one world government, one world religion, and stuff like that. And the thing about this WikiLeaks, it looks like it's gonna happen eventually anyway because of the age of information technology, the way it's leading. It's not like it's going to be a one world government just because of that, but these WikiLeaks where it's an activism. It's based on activism, is what it is,
absolutely.
And
it's
not allowing these, huh?
Absolutely, it's based on activism.
Right, and it's not allowing these governments to, do things that they're not supposed to be doing. And, like, there's video in that documentary that it shows them shooting innocent people, and it's not cool. And, I'm looking at the YouTube where this video is posted, and, people writing comments like, fuck USA and all this stuff on there. And what pisses me off most about that is watching that video, I can't say anything back. I can't defend it. Something really does have to be done.
To develop maybe for an entire two-hour show, and my desktop is calling me. I'm going to have to get in there and work.
Let me better prepare, and anybody you find who wants to call in, great. We'll do it.
Okay. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, thank you, Dolly. Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you then. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that was Dolly Millie Brennan, our co-host and co-producer, booking producer. All right. That's about all for tonight. Let's see. Our next show will be Cass. Andrew Castanuello was supposed to call in tonight. He didn't call in. He's got some prior commitments Wednesday and Thursday with his campaign and with his family. It's it's the holidays and he's a busy guy. So he's not going to be here. He was supposed to call in tonight, but I guess he'll be back next week. Yes, I don't know, but I know he's not going to be able to be here this week because he's a busy, busy dude. And Larry Ballard, he'll be on Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. And, that'll be our next show, I guess. Wow, it's only Tuesday, and we're not going to do another show until Friday? Yeah, we'll think of something. We might do something in between then. All right, everybody, this is MJH. Peace, God bless, and I'm out of here. Later, everybody. Where is my exit music at? I can never find it. There it is. All right.
You are listening to the MJH Experience on Blog Talk Radio. You have been listening to the MJH Experience on Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by CommunicationCreations.com.
Do you know where you're going to?